Africa is on Twitter at Africa Milani.
We continue our focus on Disability Awareness Month, which continues until the 3rd of December. And today, we talk about blindness. Hamza Mustaq is an ophthalmologist at Groote Schuur Hospital. He was also a fellow guest at the Eat Out Woolworths Restaurant Awards. And he and I and his beautiful wife sat next to each other at a table. You had a wonderful time there, Hamza, didn't you? Good morning.
Morning, Africa. Yeah, no, it was a fantastic time. It was good to see everyone able to get back together again after the last few years, and good to meet new people.
And it really felt like that, didn't it? Where these peers and colleagues and friends in the industry who've all worked bloody hard, as one would say, to make sure that they survive and they, one, have an establishment that is still operational, and so many of them working so hard to keep their employees employed through the pandemic despite the challenges in the sector. They were getting together for the first time, some of them, and seeing each other in, you know, for the first time in 2.5-3 years.
No, absolutely. It's inspirational to see them you know, persist and persevere and go through that and build on what they've sort of developed over the years and established, you know.
Yeah. Our focus this morning, though, is on blindness or visual impairment. How prevalent is it in South Africa from what you know?
So it's very prevalent, you know, and we can break it up into the two groups, which is your children or pediatric population, and then your adults, you know. So obviously more prevalent in the adult group, where cataracts account for the majority of the cases we see at Groote Schuur Hospital. But in general, in most of the world, actually, it's the leading cause of visual disability is what we call refractive error, or the need for spectacles, you know. And one of the problems we face here in South Africa, and more so Africa, is the availability or access to spectacle correction or refractive correction, if you will.
I remember, in fact, Stay Kenico, I think they still run the campaign, doing a wonderful, wonderful drive to get you and I, Hamza, when we were buying our ticket to go watch Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, to donate a certain amount so that they can go out to school, certainly in far-flung areas of South Africa, get someone like you to test the eyesight of a child, and then, if necessary, to prescribe spectacles. And it's amazing what a difference that made to those children's prospects, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we've got a few good initiatives here in South Africa. There are quite a few NGOs, and I'm part of one called the Radiance Foundation, looking to address, you know, access to eye health care services that we face here. And so it's refreshing to see that there are people who, you know, dedicated towards improving eye health services in the country.
Are the majority of those cases hereditary? So they would have been born with some sort of ailment, I suppose, as far as their eyesight is concerned, and it progressively gets worse while they're still children and therefore need spectacles? Or are some of the cases circumstantial? You find yourself in a particular dynamic, I don't know, perhaps you're not getting good enough exercise or nutrition or whatever the case may be, that for whatever reason then impacts on your eyesight.
Yeah, I definitely think it's multifactorial. There is a genetic or inheritance component, and then in addition, you know, there's some theories to suggest that now with the children moving away from, you know, playing outside, where they use a lot of the distance vision, to focusing on screens and doing a lot of near work, you know, which is driving a certain type of refractive error. The problem with it in children is that if it's not picked up in time, so the eye-brain connection occurs over the first 8 years, you know, and that's when children are most sort of, they've got the highest plasticity, so they're able to adapt. And so if you don't correct their refractive error before the age of 8, then the neural connection with the brain doesn't establish, so that after the age of 8, no matter what you do, you won't be able to correct that visual loss, you know.
And I suppose visual loss, visual impairment, blindness then in adults, how much of the prevalence of that is determined by the fact that when they were children, we missed the chance to diagnose them correctly?
So luckily, that's a small cohort of the patients that we actually see, you know. So I'd say, you know, of all the cases of visual disability we see, those cases, so that condition is called amblyopia, probably account for about, you know, about 5% of the patients we might see. But in the adult population, the biggest problem we face is cataract formation, you know, which is where the lens inside your eye becomes opacified. So it's almost like a window that's become dirty that you can't see out of. And the thing about that is that it's a completely reversible cause of blindness or visual loss, you know, and needing cataract surgery. But at the moment, our waiting lists in the state service for cataract surgery are in excess of 3 years, you know. So you have patients, and it will vary. You've got some patients whose cataract is causing enough visual impairment. So, for example, where they wouldn't qualify for a PDP license, you know, up to patients who are completely blind in both eyes from their cataracts. And so these patients are having to wait, you know, up to 3 years in order to get the surgery that they need.
And is it not an ailment serious enough in the roster, really, of issues that the National Department of Health or provincial departments, for that matter, have to tackle, that we still have waiting periods of such lengthy times?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when it comes to the politics of healthcare at the government service, I think there are several issues. So one here, and I think it echoes across South Africa, is here in Cape Town, is that you've got the two big tertiary units, so Goedeskier and Tigerberg, who there's a smaller unit called Eerste Rivier who offer the cataract surgery services, you know. And so it's that we're very limited as to how many cases we can do per day. And so the waiting list just keeps growing. So it's something that definitely needs to be addressed.
Any role that the private sector can play then, where, I don't know, there's some agreement between the Minister of Health and the provincial departments and the major private health facilities in the country, where we say, you know what, once a year there'll be a drive where for a week we just, you know, get as many of those cataract operations as possible out of the way.
Yeah, so they are those initiatives, but the problem with those is that they're sort of once a year little band-aids, if you will, you know. For example, the Mandela Day drive where they will do, you know, a few cataracts in the private sector from the state waiting list. The problem with that is that it's not a sustainable solution, you know. And it becomes almost like a lottery as to who gets selected for those cataracts.
Yeah,
and so so for me it would have to be an ongoing collaborative effort, you know. And I think where the NGOs have a significant role to play in terms of helping address those issues. So we've got a couple of good initiatives that are running that are looking to address this, and Radiance Foundation, which is I'm part of, is actually, you know, supported by the Gift of the Givers now, and we actually do cataract surgery at the state facilities off their waiting list, and the NGO actually sort of will pay the state sector for us to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's good to hear. We'll have to hold it there. Thank you very much for your time. Dr. Hamza Mustaq, who's an ophthalmologist at Goedeskier Hospital, talking, of course, about blindness. It is Disability Awareness Month. Well, the Section 89 independent panel of experts will hand over the report on President Cyril Ramaphosa's alleged conduct to the Speaker of the National Assembly later on this morning. We'll find out what to expect with Professor Cathy Powell from UCT.
Wake up.
It's your early breakfast
with Africa Milani.